Hey, welcome to Politico Tech. Today's Monday, May 13th. I'm Stephen Overly. The director of the National Science Foundation is a computer scientist and former academic named Sethraman Panchanathan. But everyone calls him Panch. And sitting down with Panch, I can tell you two things quickly become clear. He's a persistent optimist, and he's got a palpable energy. The kind of person who feels like a jolt of caffeine. And as you'll hear, he needs both right now. President Biden's signature CHIPS and Science Act promised NSF a budget boost of $81 billion over 5 years. But so far, Congress hasn't come through with the money. That has Panch persuading lawmakers to loosen the national purse strings. While in the meantime, cobbling together money from NSF's shrinking budget and the private sector to fund AI research projects. On the show today, why Panch thinks Congress needs a jolt of its own. Thank you for joining us on Politico Tech.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here.
So much of the conversation around technology and science these days comes back to U.S. competitiveness. How does research fit into that?
Extremely important. How do you compete? You compete because you are out-innovating. In competition, out-innovating in every possible way. What does it do? Out-innovating means that you're creating the amazing new ventures. You are enriching and empowering the ventures that are currently in and doing successfully and helping them scale and speed. So that's important. You are empowering the talent that is going through the university system, community college system, K-12 system, and of course, upskilling, reskilling, all of that. Right? All of this is important and more is important as you think about competition. Right? You want to be helping and assisting through research every aspect of what you do in training, in building the new technologies,
right?
New discoveries, new ventures, and enriching existing ventures. All of this is important at the same time.
And is government still, you know, an epicenter for research? I think I talked to a lot of folks in industry who say government research was the foundation of so many technologies, you know, including the internet, a lot of mobile technologies. But today, that research and innovation comes from industry. What do you make of that characterization?
I think, you know, it's not entirely, I don't entirely agree with that characterization. Let me tell you why. The foundational investments that the federal government makes is exceedingly important for the discoveries that then become the translational technologies that, of course, industry invests in and industry is increasingly investing in. One could make the case that more of the investments needs to be made by the federal government. No question about that. And that's what is exciting about the CHIPS and Science Act, thanks to the Biden-Harris administration and the strong bipartisan support of Congress, that the CHIPS and Science Act, the Science Act, clearly demonstrates that we need to be in the vanguard of investment and therefore discoveries and innovations and translational technologies that federal government needs to make. So clearly that is an add-on that we have from industry and other investments, but it cannot be substitutive to federal investments.
Right.
Both are important. And so I'm very pleased that even if you look at the Science and Engineering Indicators report that the National Science Board put out just a few weeks ago, it's clear that U.S. is leading with 3.5% of the GDP investments. But a lot of it is coming, as you said, from industry investments in basic research and applied research. So this is the time for our federal investments to increase, and then working with the other investments can do amazing things.
You mentioned the CHIPS and Science Act. That included billions of dollars for scientific research and development. A lot of that money on the science side has not yet come through. Is that holding your agency back in any way?
So let me put it this way. Clearly, yes. Many of them are authorizations, not appropriations yet. Okay? When I go around the country, which I do a lot, okay, I see tremendous amount of talent and ideas. When I look at the proposals that are coming into NSF, 45,000 of them right now on an annual basis, close to. Okay? I see the amazing ideas and talent that is ready to want to engage. When I look at the minority serving institutions, community colleges, research two institutions, and research one institutions, I see the unbelievable possibilities that are there. the more we delay the authorizations becoming appropriations, the more we are not able to scale at speed, which is exceedingly important. So I keep repeating that this is the time to double down, triple down, if we want to hyper-compete and out-innovate and out-compete any nation on earth.
And so when you talk to lawmakers about this, what's your message? What are we missing out on or not advancing fast enough on because of this delay in funding?
I talk to them about talent and innovation. You know, at NSF, we launched the Technology Innovation Partnership, so the TIP Directorate, the first new directorate in 31 years. And through that, one of the exemplar programs, among other programs, is the Regional Innovation Engine Program. And the Regional Innovation Engine essentially has shown that innovation in-place innovation, is everywhere.
Right.
Not just limited to a few locations in our country, as important as they are. So I say that there is so much ready to, you know, engage, ready to out-innovate kind of innovative ideas that are there. There is ready to engage partnerships that are, you know, willing to come together and co-invest. So therefore, we need to supercharge them. I see the K-12 system, the community college system, the range of minority-serving institutions, emerging research institutions that we have across our country, they are all ready to scale rapidly. That's why this investment is very, very important. And it matters to every part of our country. That's my message.
Is there a way to move the needle, you think, to get those funds appropriated?
I think there is a tremendous receptivity, you know, a bipartisan support and receptivity. And granted, we are going through some difficult decisions that is being made as a nation in terms of how do we prioritize the budgets and so on.
Right.
So this is an important priority. And so I keep talking about, as important as it is to make sure that we have investments in the defensive posture, which is very important, right? Very important. We also need to be hyper-investing in the offense posture.
Right.
And to me, science and research investments are positioning ourselves and delivering on the offense posture.
I want to talk a little bit about the National AI Research Resource, NAIR, which, you know, 35 research projects were just approved to be kind of part of that first pilot. What are you hoping to prove or demonstrate with that program?
So clearly when the NAIR, the task force came out with a recommendation that we need to democratize AI resources because talent and ideas are democratized.
Right.
So the AI ideas and the innovations are everywhere. So if you really are looking to ensure that you are going to unleash those ideas and talent and innovations, what you need to do is to make sure that people have access to these resources. Otherwise, what will happen is only those who have access to resources, large computing resources, model resources, algorithmic resources, AI tools, okay, software, all kinds of things that only those people who have access to them will be able to get their ideas out there. And that will predominantly be the industry and a few institutions. So what we're trying to do with NAIR is to change that. And so 35 projects that you reference are excellent pilot projects that have been launched in partnership with NSF Investment, being co-invested with industry like NVIDIA, Microsoft, Amazon, and everybody who's who in AI are partnering with that. 25 of them, non-governmental partners, and 11 federal agencies all working together, assigning these kinds of resources so that people who have good ideas will have the resources to be able to access their ideas. When I looked at the 35 projects, it's very clear to me that the appetite out there is very strong. The ideas out there are very strong. We have 50 more projects positively reviewed, waiting for the resources. So it's very clear to me that we need to rapidly scale this.
What kind of research projects are these? What has you excited?
So let me give you one example. We have AI for agriculture, right? We funded an AI institute led by Iowa State University in partnership with USDA NIFA in agriculture, AI for agriculture. We have 5 AI institutes with NIFA funded for agriculture. And it's phenomenal AI institutes. Out of the 25 AI institutes we funded in the last 3 years, 5 of them are focused on these, you know, co-funded AI institutes with NIFA funding. Okay. One of those projects was folks from the AI institutes now looking at pest detection.
Right.
Real time, right? A farmer can pretty much have their handheld and look at a pest, take a picture, and be able to determine, is it a pest or is it something that doesn't, you know, destroy my crop, right? These kinds of enablement of farmers, enablement of people, you know, on the ground doing amazing things that are going to be empowered, that are going to be enriched by the AI tools. And I see this being made possible by their projects. And how can you not be excited? We need to push everybody to make sure that they all understand the importance. How can one not understand the importance of a farmer?
Right.
Or a firefighter?
Yeah.
Right? And they may not look at esoteric things. And I will give you another example of a project. One of the institutes, 25 institutes that we funded, was AI for Exceptional Education.
Okay.
At the University of Buffalo. And I was with Senator Schumer launching this institute a few weeks ago. Right? The institute is about speech-language pathologists being augmented by AI. We have 62,000 speech-language pathologists in our country right now. We have 3 million kids who need speech-language therapy services. How do we use AI to screen and find out what each kid needs? How do we find out that augmentation with the speech pathology experts providing their services augmented and surrounding the kids with all of the AI that services that can be provided? Exciting project. It's going to make possible those 3 million children now or more.
Right.
Becoming part of our workforce of the future, contributing and not only realizing their full potential for themselves, but for our nation.
And what's the future of NAIR if this funding doesn't come through? Because right now you're sort of bootstrapping it, right, with existing resources. What happens if you don't get more money to keep this thing running?
I'm an optimist. So I'm confident that AI investments will scale, NAIR investment will happen because we have bipartisan support of Congress. We have an AI caucus on the Senate side led by amazing leaders, right? Senator Schumer, Senator Young, Senator Rounds, and Senator Heinrich, and others. And all of them are participating, right? Likewise, in the House side, we have AI caucus. They are all deeply committed on a bipartisan basis that AI, we need to speed up and secure amazing opportunities and build amazing talent in the industries of the future. So I'm confident about the investment. And so at the same time, we are also not, as you saw from the NAIR pilot, while NSF put in $30 million, we got several times more of investments of resources from all partners, 25 non-governmental partners, 11 federal agencies, all of them contributing. That's the model for the future. Yes, we will get more federal investments, but we also want to bring together the collective investments of every sector so that we can unleash ideas and talent everywhere.
Do you think people should spend more time focused on the upsides of AI than yes. the downsides?
I think they should spend definitely time on the upsides of AI, but we should also spend time on the downsides to find solutions to address those downsides. I'm a huge fan of, let's try to identify the problems, solve the problems, okay? Whether it is how do we ensure responsible development? How do we secure and make sure that security and privacy is important? How do we make sure that we are safe in building the AI tools and the technologies of the future? I'm a huge proponent of that. How do we make sure that AI does not become about haves and have-nots, that AI becomes equitable and does not have bias as part of how we advance in the future? I'm a huge fan of that. So we need to work on all of that, but we should not lose sight of the promise and the potential while we look at potential perils and other kinds of things that are there, but address them.
Panch, thank you for being here on Politico Tech.
It's a pleasure, and thank you for speaking to me.
That's all for today's Politico Tech. For more tech news, subscribe to our newsletters, Digital Future Daily and Morning Tech. Music in today's episode comes from the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Our managing producer is Annie Reese. Our producer is Afra Abdullah. And our editors are Steve Heuser, Daniela Cheslow, and Louisa Savage. I'm Stephen Overley. See you back here tomorrow.